Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today we're going to update a program we did 2 years ago. It on our website, you'll be able to find this at kgov.com/filter, and this is how to protect your family from the web using NetNanny, other types of filter programs, and also how to protect your family from films that you think should be family-friendly, and it turns out they may not be. So, at Bob and Yurt Live, we have a consultant that we use for all things web-based technology. His name is Nathan Rambeck. He's also an extraordinary homeschool dad, husband, Christian, a pro-life leader. Nathan Rambeck. Nathan, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, sure thing. It's a thrill to have you on, Nathan. How are you doing, and how's your family?
Doing good. Everybody's great. We got a six-month-old baby. That's number six for us. We're having a good time and homeschooling the kids and discipling them and living for the Lord. It's great.
Yeah, that's super. So your youngest is 6 months old. How old is your oldest? And have you guys had to consider already protecting your kids from the internet?
Yeah, for sure. My oldest is 12. And so, yeah, we've got a wide range there. But as the kids get older, as you know, it becomes increasingly more of a concern, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a concern as they're younger. And then as they start using the computer and other things more and more for school and other things like that, there's just more and more dangers lurking around the corner.
So, Nathan, the things that I'm hoping we could cover is first, how dangerous is it really? Are parents just exaggerating the potential harm? And then I'd like us to talk about filters for your computer. And then what do we do with smartphones and tablets? And how about, like, say, for ebooks, how about a Kindle? And then also, is there a way to filter the internet for your whole house? And then how about games? And finally, TV and movie streaming services. If a family wants to watch a film, but they're not quite sure if it might have inappropriate material in it, is there a way to see what looks like a family film and make sure it's safe?
So, right. It's funny because we did this show 2 years ago, and there's already new technology and things to consider. Everything's going online these days. I mean, they're even talking about, like, toasters and your refrigerator going online.
Yeah.
So it's just becoming more and more difficult. But thankfully, there's tools available. So, yeah, we'll start kind of going through these.
Yeah, and Nathan, as far as your toaster, Cheryl and I, we have a Mr. Coffee Maker.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get it ready the night before, and we have it automatically. It goes off 6:30 in the morning. But on the days that I happen to have an early meeting, wake up at 5, and I just touch the app on my cell phone, and it starts percolating.
Nice.
So it's Wi-Fi web ready.
You're high tech.
It uses Wemo, right?
Okay, yeah.
But we don't have the robot attachment that will put the coffee grinds in it yet.
Not yet.
We don't have that yet. So,
one of your original questions was, you know, is this really a concern? And I'm always surprised when I talk to other families where they're, you know, they don't think it's a big deal. And, you know, the facts just don't bear that out. I mean, I wrote a piece several years back on this whole idea. And, you know, the statistics are that 11 years old is the average age when a child is first exposed to pornography online.
11 years old. Nathan, you're in Ohio. You might not know about the horror story here in Colorado, where one of our more rural high schools, they canceled the end of their football season. The whole school is in turmoil because what was going on for some years there became public, and there were more than 100 students, and some young, not only all through the high school ages, but some young kids, including young girls, like 12, 13 years old, not only sexting, but I don't even want to describe it, just completely horrific pornography that they're making themselves online for the whole school to watch and to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to a coworker today, and she was telling me that she was hearing these stories about kids who are this age, 11, 12, 13 years old, who are already addicted to pornography. And some people don't realize, you know, that just like any drug, any illicit drug, pornography can be addicted, and your child can become addicted at a very early age.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's a parent, a husband or a wife, who is in denial, I think the other parent has to cause, if necessary, cause a crisis. You know, Dr. James Dobson used to say this. Sometimes you have to create a crisis. If there is someone in a relationship that's doing something that's going to destroy people, children, the marriage, sometimes you have to create a crisis rather than let things continue. So it takes about 10 seconds for a child to be on a cell phone or a tablet or a computer and see something he could never unsee and have horrific hardcore pornography now seared into his mind. And that then could become addictive very quickly.
Right. And it's not even something that necessarily a child is going to be looking for, right? There are perverts out there who will create websites that have a domain name very similar to maybe another popular website. And their purpose is to try to trick people into going to their website and get hooked into their perversion.
Yeah, like a Lego website or something, and then kids find it, and then they get addicted, and they become like the drug dealer at school. Then they tell other kids about it, and it's just another marketing avenue for these predators and these perverts.
Yeah.
So, Nathan,
parents need to be vigilant.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Eternal vigilance with our kids and making sure that this isn't something that they have to deal with. You know, as they become adults, you know, they're going to have to navigate all these waters.
Right.
But we don't want them to have to deal with like, these kinds of things while they're living in our house, all these temptations and things like that. We need to put up a wall. As it were.
Yeah, you
so
protect.
Protected and kept safe.
Right. While your children are minors and they're in your home, it is your responsibility to protect them from harm, from drug dealers, from gang members, for pornography purveyors. It's your responsibility. If you let your kids watch premium channels on cable TV or satellite, or even, we don't even watch primetime television from the networks. But if you let your children watch that stuff, you are responsible for the harm that you're doing to your kids.
Yeah, exactly. So thankfully there's tools that we can use because it's hard to do anything these days, right, without being online.
Yeah.
You know, to get our jobs done, to do schoolwork, we're homeschooling our kids. A lot of the stuff that they're doing is online. So we want to take advantage of these things, but kind of the first, very off the bat, one of the things that I want to say before we get into any of these tools or things that we can avail ourselves of is that it's a really bad idea to ever give a child any kind of device that's connected to the internet without adult supervision.
Yes.
Just in general, just as a general rule of thumb, that's a bad idea.
Yep.
Having things inside of your kid's room, allowing them access to tablets or phones or whatever at night while they're in their room by themselves. At our house, we keep everything that's connected to the internet out in the open where everybody can see what's going on. And that's just our rule of thumb
because there's always
dangers.
Hey,
no matter how hard we work to protect these devices.
That's absolutely vital, that accountability, that the computers in the home are centrally located so that other family members, so that we help one another.
Yeah.
We help one another, and when there are siblings and parents there in the room around you, then the temptation is not going to be overwhelming. So you're helping one another by doing that. But also, you know, a game. What kind of a game lets you go online these days? I mean, any game.
Right.
Every game.
Every single one, right.
And even kids' handheld games, like Game Boys or whatever they're called. A lot of handheld devices. In fact, virtually all tablets and iPads and all that stuff It's all web accessible. And parents are shocked. They buy their kid a game, and they have no idea they're on YouTube 10 minutes later.
Right. They don't. They have no idea. They think it's just a video game like the video games we used to play when we were kids, but it's different.
Right. Right. So, okay, so agreed. So we have to provide parental supervision for all these devices. And by the way, that might discourage somebody for getting a device just as a babysitter. We know kids who probably spend
right.
6 hours a day on their devices. 6 hours a day. And we
right.
know it's affecting their minds. It's affecting their personalities. I mean, we've reported on Bob and Yurt Live, the violent video games, literally neurologists are seeing the brains of young people being rewired by this stuff. So
right.
it's not a babysitter. We need to provide parental, not just guidance, but involvement in our kids' online use.
Amen. So some of the tools, let's talk about computers first, our laptops, our desktops at our house. At our house, we have every single computer that we have in our house, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, has an internet filter on it. And the internet filters these days are pretty good. They're getting better. And you can get them available for PCs and Macs, both. The one that we use is called Covenant Eyes. We really, really like it. I've tried, I think, all of them over the years.
Yes.
And we settled on Covenant Eyes.
We use Covenant Eyes. I think last time we did this show, Nathan, we were using NetNanny. I think we still have one computer hooked up to NetNanny, but we've gradually switched over to Covenant Eyes also. Would you say those are the two main internet filters?
I believe so. I know that SafeEyes was another one. They ended up getting bought by McAfee, which is a pretty big company.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they've done with it or where it's at these days. But.
All right. Okay, but certainly those two resources, people could do further investigation. But if you have a computer, you want Covenant Eyes or NetNanny on the computer, even for the adults, for the husband. And when you
yeah.
install it, the wife has the password. The husband doesn't have the password. Hey, Nathan, our business next 2 hours here at Bob and Yurt Live, our studios in the Denver area, there's a business in this office complex next to us. The wife called me, asked me to go over to her husband's office to type in their Covenant Eyes password because she had to make an adjustment on his computer. And it all took all of 3 or 4 minutes. And I was able to help them, so he has accountability to his wife.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, even on my work computer, I have Covenant Eyes installed, and it's for that accountability reason. So my wife, you know, she can have a peace of mind. And there's three things that you're looking for an internet filter, whichever service you use. The first one is you need to make sure that it is able to block any objectionable content. Usually there's kind of like a level that you put. And then there's a primary password, and you can't get to these blocked sites unless somebody enters in a password.
Mm-hmm.
The second feature you're looking for is that there's like a usage report, which is kind of like an accountability layer, so that whether it's your children's computer or your husband's or somebody else in your family, you'll get an email that says, oh, these are the sites that this person visited. So there's an accountability feature there in case, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody might be looking for something they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You can see if that's the case.
Yeah, and
Covenant,
and Nathan, just something that people might not realize. They might think, oh, I'm going online, I'm browsing incognito or something. Well, the site you're going to, they know where you live. I mean, that's how the data gets back to you. They can get your address, the browser that you're using, the companies that the internet, the web software companies and service companies that you are using to get to your final destination. They keep track of data, and there are people think, oh, I'm using this browser, I'm erasing my history, nobody knows
right.
what I was looking at. That's as naive as could be. totally naive.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah. And, hey, Nathan, I realize as we're talking, and I probably have to calm down a bit, but as an intuitive, I could sort of see the destruction that's going to come to hundreds of families listening to us right now. Their children being destroyed because they don't care, because they won't take the effort to protect their own children. The marriage is destroyed, and it's just devastating, and I could feel it in my gut. I could see it as though it's happening right in front of me, and I could feel it, and it's just so so frustrating and so discouraging.
Yeah, you know, I tell people it's hard. It acts an extra layer of complexity to your life, but it's so worth it. You know, when your kids come out pure and clean on the other side of raising them, that you can't. There's nothing to compare to that.
Oh wow!
The labor that we put into it, the labor of love.
Yeah,
what God has called us to.
You know, for a lot of kids, their lives are over when they're still teenagers. They've destroyed themselves, but Christian parents, when their child turns 18, when they're an adult, at one of their birthday presents, you give them their life. You say, now you're ready to begin your life, and here you have a life. Whereas kids their same age, in their same town they grew up in, by the time they're 18, their lives are ruined. So to be able to give your child his life, her life, as their, you know, as a gift, when they begin to live on their own and make all their own decisions, what a beautiful thing to give them.
That is a beautiful thing.
So those are the computer filters.
Yeah, so one of the things we like about Covenant Eyes is they send a report, and they try to, you know, it can be difficult, right, if you have a list of all the websites you visited over a week. I mean, that list can be huge.
Yeah.
So Covenant Eyes will say, oh, these are the things that you should really be looking at. These are the ones we kind of put some flashing lights on that you want to check out. And it makes things really easy.
Yeah, it's great.
So that's computers. Making sure that you have some kind of filter and accountability software on computers to protect those. And those work great because they work on any browser. It doesn't matter what browser you use, or even if you're using something other than a browser. Anything connected to the Internet on that computer will be protected by these filters. Mm. The next thing to look at is like devices like your iPhone or Android or iPad or things like that. And it's a little bit more difficult for those devices because they don't allow that same kind of coverage of Internet protection on those devices. So you need to be a little bit more careful and thoughtful about how you use those devices.
Now, what we've done, Nathan, and it's hard, right? We've been raising boys, and our boys are, I mean, they live life to the fullest. Our three youngest sons play travel hockey. They're just incredible athletes. They go snowboarding. They've got so many friends, and they're so active. But we don't allow our kids to have smartphones. It's simply too dangerous.
Right.
So when they're older, they start driving, and they have a flip phone or whatever that is. But no access to the Internet, basically.
Yeah, that's a really smart idea. I know lots of people who do that. Our kids aren't old enough for us to be thinking about that at this point. But I know lots of other parents that do that exact same thing. You have a device that isn't able to get on the Internet, and it's just safer.
It's safer. And, you know, it's hard because they're going to have friends who have smartphones, and their friends are going to be addicted to pornography. Not all of them, but some of them. And their friends are going to want to show your kids the pornography on their phones. When we have kids come over to our home, you know, whether it's for a birthday party or even overnight, we tell the families, no phones. So let your kids leave their phones at home.
And that's a great idea.
We have a whole bunch of rules, and maybe I could tell one quick story. A few weeks ago, one of our kids, a friend, not through church, just a friend, asked one of our kids to a sleepover birthday party. And so we said to the parents, we said, you know, we're so thankful you invited our son, we have all these rules. We showed them our list of rules. When other kids sleep over our house, you know, no girls, no internet, no phones, no violent video games, no all this stuff. And they looked at the list and they said, oh no, we could maybe do most of that, but we can't do all of that. And so they said, would your son come over another time? We'll make sure we'll do all of those. So we said, yeah, that'd be wonderful. And you know what happened? A few weeks later, that family was called out of town and they needed someplace for their child to stay for a weekend. And guess who they called?
Right.
They called us. And we had the pleasure and the joy of having this kid hang out with us for a weekend because his parents knew that their son would be safe at our home.
Right. Yeah. The vigilant parents.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Thanks. So, okay, so smartphones and tablets, it's tougher, right?
Yeah. So a little segue there with your story there. One of the concerns, right, is you may have protected all your devices to some extent, but what if somebody comes over to your house and they have their own computer and it's not protected or whatever?
Right.
That can be a danger. So one of the things you can do, like you said, is have rules. One of the things that we have for our internet router is we have a service called OpenDNS, and it's just a setting on your router that basically filters all the internet that goes through your house through a special service that does some level of filtering. I don't think it's as great as it could be,
right?
But it has some level, so it provides a little bit of security
now,
there.
Nathan,
I think having rules like you were talking about is better, but
Nathan, we certainly, there are people in the audience who don't know router, don't know DNS, but there's a pipe that comes into your home, typically an internet pipe. And then you could have all kinds of devices get online through that one pipe. So what this is it's a way to filter before your devices get hooked up to the internet. You filter it at the source at your house. So that whether it's their tablet or a smartphone or a computer or whatever, your laptop, it all, when you're home using your own service, everything gets at least some basic level of filtering. And that's a great thing.
Right.
That's
and that OpenDNS service is totally free. If you don't know anything about that, ask a friend who's into computers and ask them to come over and help you out with that. I'm sure they'd be happy to.
That's a great idea. Ask for help. And also on today's show summary, it'll be kgov.com/filter, and we'll put links to some of these things so you could find out more information. And, yeah, talk to a friend who knows computers.
Yeah, so to try to get through a few more of these things, there's so many things in our houses these days. Kindles. We have Kindles for our two oldest kids. They're voracious readers. It's like a daily struggle trying to find them new things to read. They've read all the books in our house,
right.
And they're just so hungry for knowledge.
Yeah.
And so we like to get them books. We have Kindles for them so that we can get e-books. But those Kindles have browsers on them. Some people don't even know that. And so we've locked them down with passcodes. A Kindle actually is one of the... They actually have a service where you can provide a profile for each child and only give them access to the books that you've actually assigned to them. So we have those Kindles locked down, and if we ever want to give them a book, we just have to go in through the web browser on Amazon,
right?
Assign it to their profile, and they get it.
And that's a great way to do it. It's like a white list. It's not that they have access to everything. Each time you get a title, you give them access to that title.
Exactly, yep. And you don't want, even if you disable the browser, if they can just browse through everything that's on the Kindle store or whatever. I mean, there's some
horrific,
plenty of nasty,
horrific
horrible
things.
Books in there, right?
Right, horrific.
Yeah. So those are Kindles. The other thing, too,
hey, Nathan, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with their ability to browse through the Kindle library?
Yeah, it's turned off. So when you create a profile for them through their service for kids, it actually disables the browsing completely. The only thing that they can see is the things that you've assigned to them.
Well, that's super. That's super. Thank you. We only have another 3 minutes. I wanted to ask you about now games. Obviously today, Xbox game is used mostly for violence and sexual immorality. So Xbox is dangerous right off the bat, because of the games people buy for it. But then there are other game boxes that have more kid-friendly games commonly. And I'm not even sure. What would that be?
I think you're thinking of the Wii.
Yeah, the Wii.
I'm not very familiar with these things, but yeah. that's what I've seen.
But they all give access to the internet, and so you got to be careful. If you have a young kid and he wants an Xbox, as my general experience, there's no way to get you to get an Xbox. But a Wii U, maybe a PlayStation. No, maybe not. We have a teenager in the studio audience here. He's saying, don't even get a PlayStation. Do a Wii. And you have to use them in shared family areas because of internet possibilities.
Yeah, for something like that, I would recommend once you're done with it, take it apart or unplug it, put it in a closet or somewhere, and only get it out when you're doing something together as a family or under supervision.
Yeah. Hey, I did that for years for myself with our TV. Nathan, then finally, how about movie streaming, films?
Yes. All TV and movies, it seems, is going online through these services like Netflix and Hulu and whatnot. We have a Roku at our house.
Yes.
We used to have Netflix on there, and we ended up stopping the service because through the Roku, looking through Netflix, there was no way to disable browsing of anything that they have available through their library.
The filth that they'll show your kids that's available in and of itself is so horrific. Forget about actually watching it. So we only have 30 seconds, but there is a service called VidAngel. What do you think of VidAngel?
Oh, I think my brother just told me about that. They've raved about it. They think it's great. So that's all I can all I can say about it. But I guess it filters streaming stuff.
Yeah, you could watch movies via VidAngel. You buy the movies or you rent them. If you rent them, they're $2 each. They have an interesting way of doing that. And the filtering is very very sophisticated. And they just do a great job of it. It's probably the future of family-friendly entertainment.
Yeah, another service we use is Jelly Telly. It's actually a Christian channel by the guy who did Veggie Tales. Lots of great content on there, stuff that you can trust.
Well, that's super. Nathan Rembeck, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Nathan.
It was a pleasure, Bob. Thanks for having me.
All right. Love you, brother. What a beautiful family there in Ohio. Cheryl and I appreciate the Rembecks so very much. And so please, this year, protect your family. KGov.com/filter.